great choice. Yeah. Tell us about your mom.
Oh, what can I tell you about
my
mom?
What did she think about your bashing away on the drums in her basement?
My mom was diagnosed with cancer almost within a year after I was born and given just a couple of years. Mm. And she willed herself to live another 15. Mm-hmm. And she just was just full of life. And, you know, she was the kind of person that would sing show tunes at the top of her lungs. We'd have family gatherings, and she and her mom would sing MAME and all these sorts of things. And when I took an interest in playing the drums, of course, by that time, my mom was pretty much bedridden. Mm. And the basement was right below her bedroom. And I thought, well, this is not going to work well. Mm-hmm. And my mom loved it. Mm. She just loved it. She said, go down, play. I feel better when you play. Mm. So that's what I remember about my mom.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I also lost my mother when I was, I was 10.
Oh, wow.
Different experience from you, because mine was very sudden in an accident. Mm. And one day she was there and the next day she wasn't.
Oh.
How do you think your experience changed you and made you the person you are or aren't today? Do you think? I often think that. How am I different from what happened to me with her?
I
wonder if you think the same thing.
I don't know. You know, it had been a lot of years that my mom was sick. So we were fortunate to live in a community where we had just a lot of support, you know, mm-hmm. from other people. And so, and plus she always encouraged me to be what I wanted to be and do what I wanted to do. So, and my father was exactly the same way. You know, when I'm 15, my dad worked three jobs in order to pay for her medical treatments.
Well, what did he do?
He was the head x-ray technician in the x-ray department.
Right, okay.
And he also would read films on the weekends. And then every night, five nights a week, he was a janitor. Mm. So if you can imagine, he had a full-time job. But in order to pay mom's medical bills, he would become a janitor. And he would talk me into coming and working with him, which I did, if we could stop for ice cream on the way home. That was the great bribe. So I ate a lot of ice cream as a kid.
Sure.
But I don't know what it taught me, except that there's a lot of support in the community, and it's never just one person. I mean, that influences you. It's a community.
It takes a village. Yeah.
Yep.
All right. Let's move on to number four. You're also 17 when this one comes out. Tell us about this.
So here's what pulls you out of your funk, right?
Mm. It's funk.
It's funk. Absolutely. You know, I've never been a big heavy metal band guy or a hair band guy. If you're a person of my age and growing up in Seattle at this time, Seattle eventually became the grunge capital of the world. But before that,
I was going to ask you exactly this question. What was Seattle like in those days? Because it presumably wasn't the like lefty.
No, it was very much an R&B town.
Okay.
Danny Kaye had opened a studio in Seattle called Kaye Smith Studios, and there was just a lot of really, there was a lot of country rock going on. A la Eagles were popular, but Tower of Power was the band of the moment back then, especially for me and my friends. We were all about R&B. Funk was, and this was my first experience with funk, and as a drummer, when you hear this, you can't really like anything else.
Drum.
Right. You can't not drum. And yet, you know, so I'm trying to emulate the drummer in Tower of Power, who's still the drummer god, in my opinion, David Garibaldi. And by the way, I forgot to mention Neil Peart. He's the drummer in Rush, who's also a drummer god. But mm-hmm. David Garibaldi just did things on the drums that were just amazing to me. And the reason I put this song on the album is because Tower of Power is still my band of choice. If I could listen to anybody, it's Tower of Power. But when I was probably 18 or 19, they played a nightclub in Seattle, which I could get into. They must not have been serving whatever. But they played this song, What Is Hip? And in the middle of this song, the entire band left the stage, and only David Garibaldi, the drummer, and Chester Thompson, the organ player, B3, and this is when he would actually play the bass lines with his feet. It was just the two of them for about 10 minutes on stage, and the whole club was just bouncing up and down. The most memorable music experience of my life, and it's again when I just sort of fell in love with funk and why David Garibaldi is my poster child of drummer of the millennium.
Very cool. Let's have it.
Check it out.
It's cracking me up. I tell you, we've got to get some videos sorted out for this show so that people can actually watch it and see John Tracy over here embarrassing himself playing the air drums and the air saxophone.
How many songs in 1973 hold up like that?
Oh, yeah.
Come on. It's awesome.
I was around the same time. Not around the same time. 73, I was only 9. And so I was a little bit behind you. But in England, the big thing, the big earth-shaking thing was, of course, Saturday Night Fever in 1976.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
And one of the songs off Saturday Night Fever was Disco Inferno by the Tramps. And
yeah.
That kind of rapidly became my – that was just blew me away. And there's some other Tramps tracks from around the same time. I think they came from Baltimore.
Like it was horn bands, right?
Oh,
it was Earth, Wind, and Fire.
They were awesome.
Tower of Power.
Yeah.
And so you get past that and you get into these hair bands, and it's like, if you're a poor horn player, what are you going to do for a career?
There you go. So you were 17 then, and just changing tack a little bit, kind of thinking about your future career. I'm curious, John, what was it that made you, what was it about your personality that made you seek out such a high-profile profession?
Well, I was not at all interested in a high-profile profession.
What was it that attracted you?
What attracted me was the ability to tell stories.
Right.
I just wanted to tell stories. I wanted to tell stories as a musician. I wanted to tell stories as a journalist. And I was not the kid who grew up watching television news. I was not the kid who grew up wanting to write the great American novel. I just wanted to tell stories, short stories. And when I was getting towards the end of what I knew was the end of my music career and having to go back to school and figure out what it is I was going to do, I had gone to school for 2 years at Western Washington College in Bellingham as a music major. I was a classic voice major, by the way, which was strange.
What does that mean?
Opera. it was a great time of my life where I'm playing in bars in Bellingham, playing country music, playing rock, whatever paid the bills to and I was singing opera in my college classes.
Wow.
But when I decided that I didn't really want to be a choir director, went back out on the road, and when that came to an end, I had a friend who was a grade school friend who was an editor at Como TV in Seattle. So I would just go in and visit with him. And about the third time, I kind of looked at what he was doing and editing these stories together using, you know, words and sounds and pictures to tell a story. And I said, you know, I think this is it. I think I could do this. I think I would enjoy doing this. And that's when I made the decision that I would become a journalist. And it wasn't to be an anchor. That was never really what I wanted to do. I wanted to travel and tell stories, tell other people's stories. When you come to a small station like Channel 2 and any small market in the country, there's only so many people. And so over a period of time, you just sort of have to fit yourself into these positions. And so that's how I eventually became the anchor and then eventually became the longest standing person there. So you become news director. And then I stayed there as a news director for 19 years, and nobody else could move into the position.
Did you ever stop being nervous on live TV, or is it always there? I'm curious about that. When I was in university, I spent some time doing theater, and it's much the same thing. And I always think about actors in theater. Do they always just get that kind of clench of adrenaline and nervousness before going on, or did that after a while just disappear?
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine you would. If you were an actor, you'd probably always have that. But you know, the television news studio is a pretty safe space, and there's not a lot of people in there. Over time, there was nobody in there because we went with robotic cameras. So. Mm-hmm. When you're on live, it's just, you know, once you've done it a few times, that's just the way that it is. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about this community was, I don't think that I would equate myself as a great television news anchor. And none of us, I think, really were. We just were who we were. And the great thing about this community is they just accepted us warts and all. And when we made mistakes, we made mistakes, and it was just fine. So I never felt the pressure that maybe a lot of other people feel who are anchoring on a nightly basis. Because I always felt I was just there to talk
just
to my neighbors.
Telling stories.
Yeah.
Song number 5.
Yeah. Well, this is a classic, right? This is probably the second oldest one, other than drive my
car. Yeah, we go back in time here. How come?
Well, we go back in time because as a musician, this is the song that every musician knows, right?
Mustang Sally.
Mustang Sally. If you're going to sit in with a band or somebody's going to come up and wants to sit in with you, they know Mustang Sally.
Yeah, you've got to know it.
So the funniest story in regards to me with Mustang Sally was, you know, I've probably sung a version of this song in every band that I've ever been in. And when I left the band, 10 years ago, my wife and I went to New Orleans, and we're on Bourbon Street looking for classic R&B bands, right? Mm-hmm. And the Bourbon Street now, at that time, had been taken over by discos and techno pop and everything else. But there was one bar that just had this great blues band in there playing. So my wife and I went and sat down, a very small club, and the band was doing their rap. They're talking to everybody, finding out where they are. Of course, I became Alaska. Hey, Alaska, what are you doing, right? And so
it was before the days when people would say, yeah, what about Sarah Palin?
Right. Yeah, they didn't ask about Sarah Palin at all because she wasn't a thing yet. Yeah. And so my wife gets up to go to the restroom, and then she comes back and sits down. And so then the keyboard player says, hey, Alaska, I hear you're a player. And I'm like looking at my wife going, what did you do? Well, she had told the barkeep or the bar owner that I was a musician and a singer or whatever. So they invited me up. And so what do? You sing Mustang Sally.
You got to do it.
So if you're in a band and somebody comes up, most of the time, 99% of the time, you roll your eyes, you suck it up because you know this person is just sort of, they sing in the shower and that's it. I will say, as soon as we started playing, the band sort of all of a sudden woke up, looked at each other, and they said, okay, this is cool.
The kid can sing.
People are taking video, and just because it's so weird, right? Somebody gets out of the audience and kind of knows what they're doing. And after that, the bar owner's like, Can you stay? Can you come back tomorrow? And the band's like, yeah, man, this would be. And so it was just very, and I got out of the club as quickly as I could.
Right.
But it was just very nice to sort of get that affirmation, like, okay, you're not really that good, but you can hang with some of these guys on Bourbon Street. That
there
was fun.
Very cool. Let's hear the song.
Mustang Sally. Put your flat feet on the ground.
Great choice. While we were listening to that song here, John looked over at me and says, "Do you remember that movie, The Commitments?" And I was actually about to say exactly the same thing to you and say, I'd have to go and I don't remember much about the movie, but I remember the guy who was just this young, rather fat, English white guy.
But pipes.
Yeah. And he's kind of gets up and sings Mustang Sally. And
the premise of that movie was this, you know, this band getting together. Was it Ireland? Were they in Ireland?
It was something like that.
Yeah. And it was all just for the opportunity to play in front of Wilson Pickett. Mm-hmm. Wilson Pickett was going to come hear them play. Mm-hmm. So the band falls apart like all bands do, right? Over egos and everything else.
Sure. Yeah. Speaking of which, do you still play with Chill Factor?
No, I don't. They're very gracious. They've invited me to come and sit in. And so, you know, sometimes I'll go sit in with them when they play the State Fair or something like that. But it's been a few years. I will say the band is still around. They play in town quite a bit now at Humpy's. And Pete Garrity still is playing guitar, mm-hmm. just the best guitar player in town. And Regina McDonald is mm-hmm. the lead singer, and of mm-hmm. course I've known Regina since she was a very, very little, since a baby. She's Steve McDonald's daughter, and just probably the best entertainer in Alaska. Yeah, good. She's terrific.
I had a wonderful time a couple of years ago at the Mayor's Charity Ball, I think it was, in the Dena'ina Center, when I came and belted out a song with Chill Factor.
Yeah.
It was Twist and Shout, the Beatles.
Yep.
And I'm curious.
How rocked it.
I had a great time. It was just like you in Bourbon Street.
Yeah.
It was like, oh my God,
I can do this forever.
Yeah, I know. So that makes me think, like, how does a band guy like you spend such a huge part of your life doing that kind of stuff, singing and drumming in a band, just not do it anymore? Don't you miss it?
I do miss it. In fact, I get a bigger kick now when people come up to me on the street or in the store or whatever, and they're very nice.
Do they still do that?
Yeah, they still say hi, but I love it when they say, "I miss you playing in the band."
Right, yeah.
More than I miss you doing the
news. That's why I asked you at the beginning of this show. Do you consider yourself a musician who just does the journalism to pay the bills? And I think you are.
I think maybe.
Did you have any honorable mention tracks that didn't quite make the list? But it's a difficult thing. When you try and identify your five, there's always... picking the fifth is always the most difficult because
you're
leaving something out.
Well, in honor of you... Stairway to Heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly mm-hmm. an influential song, right? Mm-hmm. You and I, Stevie Wonder,
mm-hmm.
probably one of the most beautiful ballads mm-hmm. ever written and performed. And this is a weird one. You won't know this. In fact, here's a quiz for your listeners. Who did the song Green Eyed Lady?
Green Eyed Lady, I don't know the answer.
It's a band called Sugarloaf.
Oh.
And it featured a B3. I was a big B3 fan. And then probably not the last in my heart is the song I Can't Make You Love Me. Now, I don't know who wrote the song. I should have looked it up. But as performed by Bonnie Raitt, still brings me to tears every time I hear it.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool. What are you doing these days? You, of course, in recent years... we're over at Channel 11
mm-hmm.
As they kind of went through the process of ramping up their news operation over there, and you did Reality Check. Do you miss being on the TV any?
No,
miss?
No.
People miss you.
Well, I'm nice of you to say that. I was brought in to help build the new station when GCI purchased it, and they just treated me so nicely, and was able to kind of put a brand new station together. So who gets the opportunity to do that? And then my contract ended this past December, unfortunately, while the station was recovering from an earthquake. So as I like to say, I found Channel 11 in shambles and left it in shambles. So
different kind of shambles.
But and God love them. They are doing great work in the most difficult of conditions. And they deserve a chance to be heard.
We were talking, of course, at the beginning before we started recording here today that KNBA's building and Channel 11's building down there on San Jeronimo Drive, right next door to each other, and for some reason there was just...
It's the epicenter of damage. It's amazing.
Really, everyone...
Which is why we're...
Everyone else, which is why we're recording in a different location, but yeah, it was just kind of a weird thing that most of the town escaped, like, significant structural damage to the buildings, except kind of those two.
It was remarkable.
It was a strange thing. Thanks for coming on.
You're out of questions.
No, okay. I'm not out of questions. No, I'm just, I had one, but I can't remember what it was. But thanks for coming on. It's awesome to see you again.
It's always fun.
Appreciate all your good work telling stories over the last however long it's been. When did you start? 85.
Yeah.
It's been a 33-year career of playing music and telling the news.
And loving Alaska.
Yeah.
Yep.
What do you... So you presumably didn't regret. It's like people say to me when they ask me about living in Alaska, they say, so you like it? And you go, well, I haven't left
exactly
in 35 years.
Where else would I choose to raise three amazing kids?
Right.
And this was just wonderful for them. And they appreciate it, even though... two of them have moved on to the lower 48. One's in Denver, one's in Los Angeles, trying to break into the entertainment industry. And my youngest is a senior at South High School, and they have all really benefited from growing up in Alaska.
Yeah, no, that's what I always have said to people is I had two kids. They grew up in an awesome place, and they've both also gone off to do other things, but that's part of being here. Thanks so much for coming on and being my first guest.
Thank you for having me, Ivan.
Awesome. This has been the Wilderness Playlist. Join us next week. We're going to do this every week with a different person every week. I'm so looking forward to this. I'm Ivan Moore. I'm your volunteer host here on KNBA. See you next week.